We're going the win. Nature strip the lot.
No.
Hamburger with the lot.
Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Winx Windsor third, Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger.
G'day everybody, welcome back to another episode of the One Percenters Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Briggs. I'm actually by myself tonight. I've been snubbed by the other two hosts. One's away in Byron soaking up the sunshine, and another just got a bit on at the moment. I think he's a bit flattered about his super coach, but Kane's going to join us for our big Stakes Day podcast when we release that one on Friday. It's pretty dreadful round, I think, for myself at least. I think James and Kane did all right. Other than that, it was a great day of racing. I went down 700 spots, still top 11k, which, I mean, it's not great. One good round in the next two, and I'll be right up there, given how many people have given up. James is 960th, and Kane is just inside 4,000. So after a strong start from Kane, it's pretty clear why he's snubbed the podcast, it seems. But look, I said I was going to be risky this week. I said, you know what, got nothing to lose, why not? Went Charlie Rose captain. That's disappointing. She got stood on, stomped on a few hundred metres into the race, and that ultimately cost her. She had nothing left to give down the straight, which is a real shame. Felt like it was a great build-up for her. Thought she was going to be given every chance to take home the cup, but ultimately didn't have that final kick. And they'll focus on next year. It'll be great to see her back here, and she'll be right for autumn. Which would be good. Yeah, but that was a real shame. Credit where it's due. Very elegant. And J-Mac, that was just sensational. I had a great view from where I was working on Cup Day. And just to see Elegant storm down that straight, leaving everything in her path, was quite a sight to see. And I'll remember that for a very long time. I think Incentivized didn't pull up too great from that either. Had a swollen front leg, maybe. I think they're quite concerned about whether Incentivize will make a full recovery. But best wishes to the connections and the horse itself. We may as well get cracking onto tomorrow's racing. Oaks Day, similar to Melbourne Cup, you got one Group One. Luckily, we've got two Group Threes here. Again, like I said on Tuesday, I wish they would have combined this and Cup Day, because to be honest, there's not much going. And I've been reading that a lot of people will be using various tactics, which I'll discuss sadly by myself. I'm quite lonely here. Let's get straight into it. It wasn't a great tipping day on Tuesday. I felt like a few of mine got unlucky. I mentioned Charlie Rose. I went on, I think, two horses that Craig Williams had under $5, which were disasters. I'm not sure what's happened to him, to be honest. Hasn't won since October 10, which is nearly a month. And that was on Mr. Brightside in, what was it, Seymour maybe? Seymour Cup. No, Bendigo. It's the same place, not sure. Don't have anyone to correct me today. But Mr. Brightside was very short prospect there, so I'm just really struggling to justify any reason to bet Craig Williams until this form slump is over. I'm sure he's feeling it, so I don't want to. Yeah, I'm sure no one wants to put more pressure on him, but that's really, really disappointing. So we'll head to race one, the fillies and mares, benchmark 70. If you want to have a little crack here, supercoach wise, I'll just start off with the tactics that people are deploying for Oaks Day. I've read a number of people are going about six or seven horses in the big one, in the Group One, which, look, it's probably fair enough at the end of the day. It's only, I believe it's 11 horses in this one, in the Oaks. And so if you wanted to pick six or seven, you are guaranteed, if you finish seventh, that's 10 points, and that's fifth in a Group Three. So if you, I think if you were confident, which, look, you can probably rule out a couple of horses. If you rule out Gonna Dance Lot at $91, rule out Fabiola at $126. So that's basically a nine-horse race. Black Comb, Blackham may even rule her out at $23. Doucet, don't see much for her. That's probably four horses that I'm willing to rule out. So then you go, well, it's a seven-horse race, and I haven't done the exact maths, but if you're confident that they're most likely going to be the top seven, ruling out two very long odds, who will probably finish dead last, or you add up the top seven in a group one, it's in the high 100s, I believe. So that's a fair tactic, I suppose, is going top seven in that one race, and why not? Like I just said, you're banking a fair few points. You rule out $126 favorite coming top seven, rule out a $91 chance at top seven, rule out a couple of others that, look, may finish sixth, but then again, you're giving yourself the best chance. And look, if you were to stuff one of those picks up, probably drops out at the end of the day when you've got all your scores locked in, and if you've gone for the two group threes which you're confident in, why not? But that's probably the way I'll be going, is six or seven in the Oaks, because I think there's no reason not to. So I'll just head back to group one. I said to some blokes today how I approach the form guide from this point onwards. Look at what J-Mac up to, what horse he's on, and then go from there. And just before we do get into that, I recall my comments about Theodore Nugent. I gave him a fair smashing on last podcast about his terrible riding tactics on Floating Artist. He had a great day on Tuesday, and he's going to be one to watch in the future. I do take back those comments. I did say that he shouldn't have got the ride on Floating Artist in hindsight. Going off that form, I still probably think there was better out there, but you know what? He proved me wrong. He proved a lot of people wrong, and credit to him. He's going to have a wonderful career. So, back to race one for the third time. 1,700 metres, it's benchmark 70. You've got, 18 points for the winner. I'm leaning towards Ruru here. J-Mac on board, as I said just before. Genuinely strong. Being strong second up, I should say, one win from two, if that's anything to go by. There's one at 1,500, one at 1,800, so 1,700 won't be a query at all. Look, queries around barrier 12, but, I mean, J-Mac knows what he's doing. He does. It seems like Ruru either wins or comes outside top three. Three wins from 10. Soft track is my only query. It's got a soft six at Flemington at the moment. To be honest, I probably should have checked the radar if there's any more rain coming. I don't think there's much tomorrow for Oaks Day. It's less than 1 mil with 20% chance, so we'll probably see that dry up. Bit cloudy, but you'd think the track gets a little bit drier. So, I don't think that'll be an issue. Coming off fourth in Doomben, not great form, to be honest, but I still think J-Mac can get the best out of him. Look, it's probably not really short price favourite, but the favourite for that one, American Angel at 440. Damien Lane jumps on board. One at 1,400, untried at 1,700, so you just probably query whether she can run out the distance. And same with Ruru, I've just mixed up the genders. So I'm not quite sure on that. And that's why I'm sticking with Ruru. I think Ruru does have that form with the wins at 1,500 and 1,800 to get to the 1,700. But I guess we'll see. It's not really Supercoach relevant. But as a lot of these races aren't, and that's why we're not going to spend too much time on these. Next race is only, what is it, seven in this one, and there's seven with three horses under $4.30, so it's probably little bit of a throw at the dartboard, this one. Again, I've gone with another J-Mac on board Zing with Chrissy Waller. Nine top threes on soft track. So if it is a soft track tomorrow, that I think the money will come big time for Zing. I wouldn't be surprised to see her her favourite. Second up, one second, one first, one third from four. So look, I think that'll be fine. Only query is first time running this distance, this prep, but then again, you look at two wins, 3 seconds from six at 1600. I don't think that'll be an issue at all. Best last 800 meters in the 1400 meter race in mid-October, where she was second to Zushak. So yeah, like I said, I don't think the rising distance for this prep will be an issue at all. So that's who I'm leaning towards for race two. Zing's actually sitting in my side at 175k. I'm bypassing Cyril Leo Miss at 240, and there's only one reason, and that's Craig Williams. Like, three wins on the trot this prep for Cyril Leo Miss, but until I see Craig ride a winner, I'm not going on a horse where he's riding. I can't afford that again. It just hasn't been working. And I don't care how short price the favourites are. Craig Williams is not in good form. So at 240, I'm willing to bypass. And at 175k in Supercoach terms, I'm all aboard Zing here. Foxy Frieda at 330 splits the middle between those two. Look, it won't... No knocks, really. Second to Cyril Leo Miss last race, mid-October. Danny Moore on board for that one. Gets Karen here with Danny Moore suspended. Again, yeah, probably no knocks with Foxy Frieda and Zing. Just lean towards the latter with J-Mac on board. But, yeah, bypassing Cyril Leo Miss with the man that she has on board in Craig Williams. We'll head to race three, which is a group three, our first group three of the day. I've gone with Kiki Express. I was actually on, well, I'm just going to check what race she was in. Ah, yeah, that's right, with Brereton and Renault. So I was on Brereton. What was that, 9th of October, pipped right at the line. And I'm pretty confident Kiki gets the job done again here today. Look, step up to group three, yes, is the only query, but coming off that really strong win, and we saw Brereton win on Tuesday, it seems like Brereton and Renault will be battling it out for a while. Keeps Damien Lane on board, which will suit. I personally don't have any knocks, and at 50k in Supercoach, you're probably thinking to yourself, for this group three, why not? Although I'm talking in terms of price, but the reality is I've done a draft side and I've got a million left over. So there's no real relevance to pricing this week. You've got, and look, there's plenty of other options in this race, but for me, I like sticking with a horse that's had form, especially when you've got about eight horses who are debuting. Another one you could probably look at is Satan Love. J-Mac on board at 750. But again, first start, not even trialed. So there's literally nothing to go off. But look, that's the only real other threat, I feel, to Kiki Express. But I'd be watching the fluctuations before, the betting fluctuations before lockout, with Satan Love, if there are any. I know that's a thing with lockout. I think what time's the first race tomorrow? At 12:40, and then this is at 1:55. So you might see a little bit throughout the morning and early arvo with Satan Love. That if punters were confident about Satan Love, that's really the only thing you can go off when you haven't trialed. That's probably one you could squeeze her in instead. It probably just depends on what tactics you go with this week. If you are going, like I said, with a six or seven in the group one, then you're probably not inclined to go two in any group three. You probably want to spread yourself out a bit. But if you're going, say, four or five in the group one, then I think there's every reason you could go Kiki Express and Satan Love. Another one I would just want to quickly touch on is Magic Carpet, who was fourth to Kiki Express last start. It's fourth to Kiki Express, Brereton and Reynosa, who they're not the worst of horses. They'll be following each other for a while. At $5, Ollie on board, same as last time. I think they're the only three you can have in this race, to be honest. So like I said, it's a group three. If you're wanting to chase a point, in this one, again, I'd only go maximum two. You get third in the group three and it gets to 14 points. Fourth is 12 points and I can't justify any more than two. So there's your first group three of the day across 1,000 meters. We'll head to the race four. It's 1,800 meters, benchmark 90, handicap. I've gone with Saltpeter here. I feel like I remember seeing Saltpeter was scratched from a race on Tuesday. Not sure which one, but two wins on the trot. Sale then went to Caulfield on a heavy eight at Caulfield. And then when was that? Mid-October, so only a few weeks ago. Carries reasonable form into this one. Although that win two starts ago was a benchmark 64. So again, that's a large step up to a benchmark 90. But then you look at his wins and you go, he's one at 1,100, one at 1,250, one at 1,400, one at 1,700. Pretty versatile. So I think there's no reason why you can't have a little nibble at Saltpeter. The form prior to this, he was pretty bad. Well, let's be real. He had two thirds in March at Flemington and the Valley, but then had starts at Caulfield, Morfettville, Flemington. That last, when he came last in Flemington, seems like a pretty big disaster. But then this prep, he had 18 weeks off. Then it was a fifth at Bendigo, fifth at Geelong, benchmark 64s. And then he won the benchmark 64 in Sale. I don't mind Saltpeter, but I feel like he's a pretty inconsistent horse, just what I'm saying. And I do question whether that step up to a benchmark 90 could hurt. The favourite for this one, Mystery Shot at 440. Oh, Williams on board. Last start, 8 of 11 to actually Craig Williams' last win in the Seymour Cup in Ballarat. That's where it was. On board Mr. Brightside. So, yeah, Craig gets a favourite for Mystery Shot, but again, probably not a Supercoach relevant race. There's what is it, 15 horses in this one, no clear favorite, so you'd bypass that, I'm assuming, unless you had the inside word and you knew for certainty who was going to win that one. If you were looking to target that race, you might want to have a look at fifth position. Damien Lane on board, I personally really like him. First time winner across 1700 meters and 2050 meters, so distance won't be a query at all. Disappointing in Geelong. That's my only concern. However, I do feel that dropping 6 kilos from that race, although it did come 11 of 14 to not the hardest of fields and was a benchmark 78 and comes to benchmark 90, oh, I think that 6 kilos might do him some good. And then two wins from three second up, so you can't knock that. But like I said, I don't think it's too Supercoach relevant. We head to race five, the Desirable Stakes. It's a listed race again, but for this one, I will be targeting this race because there is a short price favourite. One win from one start, Espiona, Chris Waller trained, J-Mac on board, $2, as I said. Had the win only against four other horses on a soft six at Warwick Farm across 1,200 metres in mid-October. That's my only query. Is it only against four other horses? So are you questioning whether I can really stack it up to looking like 16 other horses? Is it 17 maybe? But yeah, short price favourite. So there you go. New York Baby, probably the one I've got second in this Damien Oliver on board again. I was on New York Baby when she was at the Valley, that's right. Second to Dream Queen. Draws barrier one. So not the worst, is it? And certainly the best. Three placings from four cracks at it, so you can't knock that at all. I think New York Baby's going to be a serious horse, but for me, I'm going to go with the short price favorite here in Espiona. I believe she's 50k, but again, like, prices don't matter. But for one listed race, I think I'll be targeting. Oh, I might have a crack at two, but I'm pretty certain that Espiona will run top two, and that'll give me a minimum of 14 points, which would be fifth in the Oaks, so not bad there. So we head over to race six, 1,000 metres, another listed. It's a shame but that all these are listed, not worth many points. I've gone with number 10, Written Beauty, 56.5 kilos and priced at $4.80. J-Mac on board is massive for her, I feel. Just lacked a bit of class, I think, in coming fifth at with Rose Hill at Kembla Grange. Entrevue won that one, and I guess who was riding that? J-Mac. So I think, look, it's not the worst of form. Has had 7 weeks off since then, so we'll be primed for the 1,000 metres to just go all out, really. Two wins from four, second up, is solid reading, I'd say, and like I said, we'll be better for that 7 week break, and I'll only be maybe third race since the 21st of August, so they split them out really well, and I think that drop in distance will be much better for her, and I think. Oh, I wouldn't say the one to beat here. You've got Malkovich at 250, but I certainly like Written Beauty. I'm going to have to say the best horse in the race is Malkovich. Damien Lane on board will lead and has won 5 of 8 as the favourite. And that's pretty convincing for punters looking for a good horse, basically. Trained by Bjorn Baker. Second up is two wins from two, so you can't fault that at all. The big thing I want to touch on here is when he raced at Caulfield, when was it? Mid-October in the Caulfield Sprint, which was a Group 2, so it's dropping massively here. He's coming down the straight, Damien Lane on board, Blake McDougall, pushing with Oxley Road, 300 metres to go, and the whip flies out of Damien Lane's hands. Did that cost him the win there? I think it's fair to say yes. I've watched the replay a number of times, and I really do feel like that was a costly, costly error from Damien Lane. And providing he doesn't do it again, I think Malkovich will absolutely take this one out. Draws barrier three, no fault for mine. 250 now, wouldn't be surprised to see him come in even shorter than that, because I don't really see how he loses. Written Beauty, I really do, but I think probably racing for second, to be honest. I don't think she'll be taking it to Malkovich there, who's in pretty good form, I will say. Had 4 weeks off, 14 weeks off, but that prep had come second, 14 weeks off, a couple of great trials where he took those out, and then that second in the Caulfield Sprint in Group 2 where he probably should have won. So I think this horse has got a lot ahead of him, to be honest. So I'll be all aboard. Whether he's in my side or not will be another question, but Malkovich is my pick for that one. We had to race seven, is the MCCC Country Final, benchmark 80, 1600 metres. There's a few good options. If you're looking for value, if you're a punter and you're looking for value here, Cafe Tortoni, don't rule him out. At $31, there is no reason for him to be at 38 bucks. I don't feel it's a was second in a benchmark 78 behind Lafalong, so steps up from there. However, I think it was such a strong finish at Bendigo, just watching that. Look, yes, went down to Lafalong with not long to go, but I think that stepping up to 1600 metres, where he's had two wins at, he'll be all the better for that run. Second up five times for one win and two thirds. So I think even for just a placing, I really don't mind. Check out like that form before his first break, where he's gone third, first, second, first, second. I actually think he's quite underrated here, and I think $31 is way too high. If you're looking for a solid favourite here, it's Riot and Rose, undefeated to date. Comes up second up here, one from one second up. Had that win at Horsham, three wins prior at Caulfield, Pakenham and Moe. Can't really fault that. I'm trying to find a knock, but I suppose it is that stepping up in grade. He's only been at, what was that, benchmark 70s, benchmark 64. That step up to a benchmark 80 might, it might provide a bit, but I think he'll be right up there, to be honest. Nolan on board, retains it again, which is great. Won all previous races as favourite, and I believe goes in favourite here too. The only concern you could say is the barrier 20. So we'll have to come from wide, but I think 1600 metres will give Nolan enough time to find a really good spot. If Ride and Rose does win from barrier 20, I think he'll be a serious horse, to be honest. I really do. And all about it. He's grey. He's a grey horse. We all love the grey horses, I think. It was good to see the, I think it was race 3 on Cup Day, all the greys come out for that one. Although, to be fair, I reckon a few sway a bit to the old brown shade or brown colour, but that's for another day. But I'm very keen on Ride and Rose here. I think he's an absolutely serious horse. We'll go to the Kennedy Oaks, the big one of the day, the Group 1, got all the fillies, and it's a strong... it's a competitive field, let's say that. You've got your shortest at Elusive Express and Willowy, both at 420, who probably need to be locks for this week's racing. I think you almost got to go the top five in this race. So that's Elusive Express, Willowy, Daisies with J-Mac, who I think will take out the whole race. I think she'll be great for this one. Biscayne Bay at 650, Glintophobe at 850. I feel those five are nearly locks for this week. Daisies, Pip Late by Willowy. Is there a slight concern whether Daisies can run out the 2,500 metres? Yes, I will say yes. But has won at 2,000 before. So she only has to go another 500 to get the job done here. But I do query Willowy overtaking that race across 2,000 metres in the Group 2 Wakeful Stakes, whether that's going to prove an issue. Just on Willowy, Oliver on board, Seven Oaks going for his eighth. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets that on board her. Recent form, 2,500 metres will not be an issue. As I said, stormed home in that Wakeful Stakes win, so I don't think there'll be any doubts. One win on soft, if it is a soft track tomorrow. I can't really knock Willowy here, to be honest. I'm probably going to say that by tomorrow, by race day, she'll be in the threes, price-wise. And like I said, I didn't want to touch too much on horse prices, but you've got Willowy at 150k, Daisy 75k, Biscayne Bay at 175, Elusive Express 150. Like they're all pretty cheap. You don't need to be worrying about prices, and that's why I haven't stressed them too much. Probably if you're gonna go for six, my next best would be, I'm assuming it's pronounced Doucer at $17. Was third to Willoughby and Daisies in that Wakefield Stakes. Probably the only query is the distance, whether she can run out a really good 2,500 metres. Hasn't gone anywhere. Oh, I suppose that 2,000 metres. But besides that, hadn't even gone to 800 metres. So I think it's probably a good sign for her that to go from 1,600 metres to 2,000 and finish third behind the two favourites or two at $5 or below. It'll be testing for her, but there's no reason why she can't do it here. I wouldn't be surprised if Tussur found her in the top five. And like I said before, it's probably a reason why a lot of supercoach players will be going six or seven in this race, is to squeeze all those in. Glint of Hope, another one, probably the last one I'll touch on. National Wheeler on board, hasn't won. However, always goes close. Second, third, second. Second to Daisies, mid-October. Third was Biscayne Bay. And then in the Manifold, third to Elusive Express. And then second to Yearning, which that Yearning form will stack up big time, I think. So Glint of Hope's probably the best value, I think, at 850. If you're gonna bypass those $5 and unders. But I'm not going to be the first one to say it. It's anyone's race tomorrow. It really is. When you've got such similar horses form wise who come up against each other, matched up well, I think it'll be a good race to watch. But my approach will be probably five or six in this one, and you're sort of ruling out the $126 Fabiola and the $91 Gonna Dance a lot, or at least I am. So that's just trying to narrow it down a bit to maximise points. So it'll be interesting to see what everyone's thoughts are and how they approach that. Race 9, last of the day, 1,100 metres. It's actually Group 3, so a bit exciting. number 3 I've got on top, Cerades, gets Curry on board. Soft track is probably the only query. I really don't know how the track will play tomorrow. Who knows how much rain's going? And look, it's probably not going to be. You can probably hear the rain in the speakers, and looking out the window, even though it's dark, you can see the rain. You're probably not looking at a good four, personally. So if you're thinking that, and you look at Cerades, never raced in soft, never raced in anything wet, which would be my only query. But three wins in five in good on a good track is hard to knock. Luke Curry tends to get the best, or has gotten the best out of her. Just checking the price, 150k, so that's probably another one you want in the stable. If you want a bit of value, I think I've gone through almost every race and talked about one where J-Mac's on board, but Robert Deere is one that I'm not willing to knock, personally. I know a lot of people will, but for me, it's $7.50, barrier 10, drops a kilo since last race at the Valley, where it was in that race with Dream Queen and New York Baby. Probably not the best of races for Robert Deere, but I think with J-Mac retaining the ride, will do him good. I'm just trying to see in September at Randwick, Jamaya comes first, Mallory comes third, Robert Deere splits him for second. Jamaya, 8th in a Golden Rose recent times, Mallory, 2nd in the T-Rose earlier this spring, and 10th in the Flight Stakes. So that's not the worst of form for Robert Deere, and that's probably why I'm not going to rule her out of this one. And I personally think that the reason you're probably looking at Robert Deere and passing is probably just not converting as well as you would have liked. However, one win from one race was 1,100 metres, and anything 1,200 metres and above seems to be shocking for her. So that's be my probably reasoning as to why that price might be at 750, but I think you cannot rule Robidira out of this one. As I mentioned, was fourth in the race where Dream Queen won. And Dream Queen's in this race. Draws barrier one, so draws ideal barrier, $9.50. Probably one you could squeeze into your side if you wanted to, if you wanted a little pod. Definitely won't be out of this. Won't be out of this one. It's a tough one. That's the thing about these race days later on in the season. So probably rounds 1 to 4, you've got plenty of group ones, plenty of group twos. These ones you've got just one or two group threes, and they're really competitive. They really are. There'll be a lot of people looking at these form guides and thinking, I may as well just spin a wheel and whatever number it lands on, I'll go for that horse because, and I'll put them in my stable. Like I said, Cerides I do rate highly, but there are other options. It's going to be a tough day. It'll be a tough Oaks day, Supercoach wise, and that's why I've probably said it 6 or 7 times now. I'll be going for 5 or above in that Oaks, trying to target that and seeing if I can go 5 in the Oaks. Got 8 spots to fill, so I'll go 1 group 3, 1 group 3, 1 listed, and then 5 in the Oaks, and then I'll try and pick the captain. I am leaning towards Daisy with J-Mac. Would love to see J-Mac do the Melbourne Cup 2 days later, get the Oaks done. But I guess we'll see. See what happens there. We'll turn to the Twitter questions. I know we did get a few, the old questions with notice. Bon Beecher goes, how many Oaks horses is too many? I currently have 5. Well, Bon Beecher, I've probably answered your question. I don't think there are too many, to be honest. Maybe 8 is too many, but I genuinely can see why 7 would be reasonable to go for, to be honest, because then that 7th horse will drop out of your score. You'll get 6 who have ideally finished top 6. You get a guaranteed however many points, maybe 160 is it. So, Bon Beecher, to answer your question, of course it's up to you, but I think 8 is probably too many, but I seriously wouldn't rule out 7. Just Supercoach's Life replied to that one. I had 5 in the cup, didn't work very well. It did happen, but the Melbourne Cup, there's 24 horses. You look at the Oaks and there's 11 pre-scratching, so I think that's a little bit of a difference. But like I said, it's completely your choice. Oh, we've got Gavin Duncan, who's 11th overall. He said he had 4 in the cup. He got 1st, 2nd, and 4th. Gee whiz, Gavin. Credit where that's due. In fact, he's just tweeted that 25 seconds ago. Oaksfield is smaller. He's running with 5. So there you have it. The 11th overall ranked is running with 5. So that's, there you go. That's my advice then. Go for 5. He's hoping to land 3 in the top 5 with 1 in the winner, in the winning spot. So thanks for that, Duncan. That's very, very smart. We'll move on to the next question. Sharpie at J0 Sharp goes, group 3 races both have huge fields. Thoughts on trying to find a winner there versus a 4th or 5th in the Oaks? I will be trying to find a winner in those group 3, Sharpie. I just alluded to before, I'll be going 1 in each group 3. If I can snag a winner, that'll set me apart. Well, I'll set anyone apart, really. But I do think the way to go, as Gavin just mentioned, is 5, get away with 6, but probably 5 in the Oaks. Then you go a group 3, and then you're listed. Thoughts on trying to find a winner in those group 3s? Absolutely, go for it. Back yourself in. I know they are huge fields, as you alluded to, but you can probably, I feel like there's options where who are probably not locks for top 3. No one's a lock in horse racing, but who will be a very, very, very good chance for top 3. T Death Adder replied to that one, saying he reckons 2 horses in the listed race with this small field where Cirilio Miss is a short price favourite might be the way to go to snag 32 points in total. I actually don't mind that, T Death Adder. I really don't. Cirilio Miss, as I touched on with Craig Williams, was $2.40 maybe for that one. But yeah, no, I really don't mind that option of snagging 32 in a listed race. I personally won't be doing it, to be honest. But I do absolutely see where you're coming from. And that's very smart. Jockeys wise, well, there's one jockey I've mentioned throughout this podcast about 20-30 times. That's J-Mac. I think just trying to find where I had his odds. Here we go. 8 rides, 4 under $5, 1 under $10. You never know. Even with horses above $10, he's a chance for a place. So that's who I'll be going with. I recommend everybody go with J-Mac. Well, so that wraps us up, I guess, for the Oaks Day, our second last podcast for the Spring Carnival. We'll be lucky enough to have Kane back for Stakes Day, which will be a big one to finish off. Finally, we get more than one Group 1 in a day, so that'll be good. I know a lot of people are struggling to keep up with this year's Supercoach racing, and it happens every year, but we do appreciate the listeners that tune in each episode. We got more than what I thought we'd get for the Cup Day, with people only having about, was it 10 hours to listen, maybe 12 hours to listen before there's lockout. So we do really appreciate everyone that's listening, that everyone's staying active. And if you're in a spot like me where you're struggling to break into that top 10,000, if you nail 1 week, I swear you'll go up 8,000 spots. You really will. There's that many people that have dropped out. So if you're listening, if you're a little bit flat, going, oh, just want to wrap it up, don't lose hope of not finishing top 2,000, because I certainly haven't. I did mention on the Melbourne Cup episode, I think the median score for the top 5,000 for last Saturday was 14 or something. So all you need is one big round, and you'll set yourself apart. So yeah, don't lose faith. Podcast should be out Friday for Stakes Day, which gives you enough time to listen, to tune in. But good luck everyone, and thanks for listening, and we do appreciate the support. It's nice to have a good solid fan base. Cheers. Nature strip the lot. No. Hamburger with the lot.
Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Wingspin's a third Queen Elizabeth.